Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks, and with me is writer Jonathan Strickland.
My computer doesn't feel well.
Have you taken its temperature?
Actually, this is not the one that overheated. This is the new laptop. The old one was the one that overheated. That was my lame attempt to lead into what we're talking about today.
You mean computer viruses?
Yes. We recently had an article on this, a feature on the site, the 10 worst computer viruses of all time. And I thought that would be a clever way to lead in. Obviously, I was wrong.
Well, you know, we had a difficult time choosing which, because, you know,
there's so many contenders.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. And the ones that we picked were chosen for different reasons.
I mean,
some of them were more destructive than others, but others broke new ground in virus world shenanigans.
Yeah. they caused brand new headaches for everybody involved, besides the person who wrote them, I suppose. Well, let's give a little background here. Okay, so computer viruses date back quite a ways. There's a scientist by the name of John von Neumann who theorized way back in 1949 that it would be possible to create a program that could self-replicate, which is generally what we talk about when we talk about computer viruses. There are different kinds of computer viruses. The original good old computer virus that would cause a lot of trouble would be the kind that would infect your computer and then overwrite data and essentially turn your computer into a useless pile of junk.
Right.
Those were the good old days. Yeah, that was really irritating. It meant that you'd lose everything. Even if you could even if you could fix your computer, there was a good chance you weren't going to be able to retrieve data that had been stored on that computer up to that point. Those were nasty, but there are other kinds as well that are equally evil. There are the computer worms, and there are the Trojan horses, and together these kind of make up everything we think of when we say computer viruses.
Yeah, virus is really sort of used as a blanket term by the security public, I would say. You know, people talk about, when you hear people talk about viruses, it may actually be a worm or a Trojan that they're talking about. A worm is actually a program that can go by itself and replicate itself rather than piggybacking on another program, which is what an actual virus is.
Right, right. The old computer viruses, usually it was a little self-replicating program that was part of a larger program. So, for instance, you could corrupt a macro in Microsoft Word in the old days and create a computer virus that way. But a worm, yes, as you say, is its own program, its own application. So as soon as you execute it, that's when it activates and begins to cause issues. Whereas the Trojan, that gives bad guys the opportunity to really mess with your computer.
Yeah, it's a program, as Trojan horse you might expect from the name. It's a program that looks like one thing but actually does something else entirely. So somebody may say, hey, you know, you need to take a look at this file. It's the greatest video ever. And you double click on it and all of a sudden you're going, hey, wait, this isn't really a video file. But by that point, your computer may be infected with something nasty.
Right. And the really clever ones just make you think that whatever program you downloaded just didn't work correctly.
Right.
And so you may not even be aware that your computer has been infected. You may just think that you got a hold of a faulty file, and that's the worst of it. When in reality, someone is using your computer either to access information or create a zombie computer army. We've talked about that before, or any number of really evil, icky things that you don't want to happen to your computer.
Right.
So I guess we can just dive on in and talk about some of the ones that made the list. I'm sure everyone's just chomping at the bit to find out.
Well, the first one we were going to talk about today is an actual virus. Melissa.
Yes, Melissa. Melissa, named after an exotic dancer in Florida. It's poetry, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's beautiful.
So,
what a nice sentiment.
Yeah. This was created by a guy named David L. Smith. This is back in 1999. And, it was an actual computer virus that spread, through email. And it was one of the ones we were talking about, like, piggybacking on the Microsoft Word document.
Yep. Yep. This is the reason you get an alert when you, open a document in Word and it has a macro in it and it goes, hey, are you sure you want to do this? 'Cause it has macros. Well, now you know why. Melissa really brought our awareness up in terms of what a macro, you know, what these add-ons can do to a simple Word document or, you know, I guess Office document or anything that uses macros.
Right. And it didn't do that much damage, really. It made the list mainly, as you say, because it really raised awareness. Before that point, computer viruses were usually spread by someone handing you a floppy disk that had a corrupted file on it, and you ran it that way. That was the pre-internet days. So it was all social engineering. It was all, hey, I've got this great game on this disk. Why don't you run it? And then you screw up your computer. So Melissa really took it to the next level, you know, mass distribution.
Don't take floppy disks from strangers.
No. And that kind of leads us. Social engineering is not just from the old days. I mean, it's still happening today. And the next one's a good example of that. That's the I love you bug. Which would spread through email, and you would get a message saying, I love you. And I think most of us feel warm and comforted when we hear those words. Your natural inclination was to open up the email, find out what this little dillybob was, and you click on it, and that's when it activated the bug.
Yeah, it copied itself. It added files to your computer's registry, replaced other files on your computer with copies of itself, and then it started sending itself around to other people via email or internet relay chat.
Yeah, IRC.
Yep. That's pretty bad. And then it downloaded and would execute a password stealing program. So if you have all your passwords stored on your computer for different different applications, all of a sudden it's sending them back to the originator of the virus.
Right. And this one, the originator of the virus, is one of those kind of mysteries. We think we know who did it, but it's kind of it's impossible to say for sure. Now, allegedly, the man responsible was Onel de Guzman from the Philippines. But the thing was, when he was first being investigated, he was underage and so could not be tried as an adult. And it just kind of faded away. And then when he became of age, he sort of, in a circumspect way, kind of, but not really admitted to being the perpetrator. So, and we're fairly certain that he's the man responsible, but, you know, it could just be a lot of talk.
Well, I'll tell you, if I had done created a virus that did $10 billion worth of damages over the internet, I probably wouldn't be, you know, willing to raise my hand up and go, hey, I did this.
Right. No, maybe under a handle, you know, but not with your real name. So I guess we can move on to the next one.
Yeah, I've been talking about moving on. This was one that I heard a lot about when I worked in the computer security industry. It's SQL Slammer, also known as SQL Slammer. And this was a fast moving virus. This was a classic. In 15 minutes after it was detected, it had already infected nearly half of the internet servers.
Right.
Which, in terms of, you compare that to Melissa or I Love You, they spread pretty widely, but not like this. This was a big old eye opener for the industry.
Caused about $1 billion worth of damage, and it exploited vulnerabilities within the system. It wasn't necessarily a program designed, it wasn't like a self-replicating program in the traditional sense. It was one that exploited a vulnerability that the virus programmer, who knows who this guy is, we don't know.
Yeah.
He discovered it and took advantage of it. And there are people who do this for a living, who actually look for vulnerabilities that can be exploited. Those we usually call white hats. And then we've got the people who look for vulnerabilities in order to exploit them and actually take advantage of them, not to fix them. Those are the black hats. So good old cowboy imagery there from the wild, wild internet.
Yeah, actually, in general, a virus or, you know, whatever malware, if you will, it's going to take advantage of some vulnerability in your system. Basically, when the developers write code, whether it's your operating system or a program that runs on your operating system, there's a hole in there somewhere. And somebody can go in, a white hat or black hat or both. A lot of times they'll publish these vulnerabilities. They're picking apart the code and going, you know what? If I did this here at this right time, I could gain control of the entire computer.
Right.
And that's why you look down and you see your even Mac computers or Windows computers both have these things, and they go, hey, there's a new software security update. You need to download this, update your system. Well, that's why these vulnerabilities come to light, and then you end up patching your system.
Hmm. Well, I guess we can move on to the next one, the Sasser virus.
Yeah. Speaking of underage hackers, the person that developed Sasser and Netsky worms was a 17-year-old German who never actually spent any time in jail because he was underage. But Sasser, he apparently wrote both of these worms, but Sasser would get on your computer and scan random addresses, internet addresses, to find other vulnerable computers that it could download and copy itself to. So it actively was seeking out other machines that it could do that to, and would actually make it impossible for you to turn off your machine.
Right.
So it didn't want you to stop it from doing its work. You had to unplug your computer if you wanted to get it to cut it out.
And this is a Microsoft Windows virus, we should say. It was specifically looking at Windows vulnerabilities. So if you were using a different operating system, you were okay from this particular kind of worm. That's actually an interesting point we should make, too. I guess we can make it right here. You hear a lot about viruses attacking PCs and not as many attacking Macs. And you might think, well, does that mean that the Mac is automatically a more secure machine? Well, that's not necessarily the case. There's this concept called security through obscurity. Part of that is if not that many people are using your system, then there's less of an incentive to create an attack that targets that system. I mean, you're not going to hit as many people, so why spend that time and energy developing an attack when you could do it for a different system that's going to hit a lot more people?
Yeah, and part of the I'm just guessing that part of the reason that hackers create these viruses in the first place is to gain the notoriety and, you know, be the person that took down the internet.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're only going to take down, you know, 5 million computers versus the entirety of the internet, you know, why would you go after the small batch? Why wouldn't you try to get as much damage as you can possibly do?
If you have another ulterior motive, like let's say you've got a personal vendetta against a specific website, and you want to create a zombie network to attack that website and bring it down, obviously you want to try and go for whichever system has the widest audience, because that'll make a more effective attack in the long run. Because a lot of these viruses, that's exactly what the end goal is to try and bring down specific entities. So we've seen this happen to websites like Yahoo and CNN. It's not unusual. Which kind of brings us up to the last one we're going to talk about right now, the infamous storm worm.
Yeah, this Jonathan is saying that this is my pet worm, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think it's because it's interesting to me. It's not really called the storm worm. There's actually another pretty mild worm called the storm worm.
Right.
But it's known as its real name, if you will. These are named by the security firms. So one of them calls it PCOM, another calls it New War. But basically it's called the storm worm because it propagates through email primarily. It's a Trojan. So you think you are downloading the newest video or, some other kind of file.
And actually one of the original subject lines was, you know, a huge storm kills millions in China.
Yep.
And so the idea was to try and, trick you into clicking on a specific, thing within the email. By masking it as a news story.
Yeah, that's your social engineering at work again. They're
right.
Trying to convince you that this is a very topical moment. There were some that went out a few months ago about the Olympics. You know, they were news headlines, and they're trying to get you to do this. Or they'll use particularly inflammatory comments or things like political statements, like Obama punches Clinton. See the video now, and you go, oh my gosh, really? Did that really happen? And you go, click on it, then you've downloaded the Trojan.
Right.
But the really weird thing about this one is this Trojan can actually carry different payloads. It could turn your computer into a zombie. It could actually use your computer to send spam to create a denial of service attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been known to carry spam, denial of service attack payloads that attack specific sources. So, if there's somebody that speaks out against this storm worm and tries to draw attention to it, it has been – I read an article several months ago about this, how it has been known to go after those sites to try to shut them up.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sophisticated.
Very insidious.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's going to wrap up our discussion about the computer viruses for today. But the article does mention others, the Code Red viruses, the Klaes virus, NIMDA. Leap A or Oompa A.
There's our Mac.
That's our Mac. There. Yeah, our Mac virus. And My Doom is also on there. So certainly go over to How Stuff Works and check out the 10 worst computer viruses of all time. You'll definitely learn something. That's live right now on HowStuffWorks.com. We'll talk to you again soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.